a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Representative Feelstra.
Here.
Feigert.
Here.
Klocek.
Here.
Magstad.
Here.
Munsterman.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Roush.
Yep.
Shrimp.
Here.
Tornell.
Here.
Tolson.
Here.
Venner.
Here.
Cronin.
Here.
Kirkaby.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you. Quorum is present. Committee members, you all have minutes of January 27th in front of you. I would entertain a motion to do something, preferably positive, with them.
Mr.
Motion
Chair, to approve. I move we approve minutes.
Thank you. Got a motion, second, and a third. Pick it down there, Jeanette. Comments, discussion, motion to approve January 27th minutes. Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Minutes are approved. Remind and welcome all audience members, excluding a particular gal that's walking around. We won't acknowledge her. But anybody with serious substance, please welcome to House Local Governments. Welcome you on the internet. Remind everybody to please mute their cell phones. Any information or handouts that come, please direct them up to our pages. And speaking of pages, can we please have our page come up and introduce himself?
I'm Evan Stroder from Obridge.
Welcome and thank you for all that you're doing. Prior to getting started, just remind everybody, I think they all know the procedures to sign in pro or con on any bill. We do have four bills slated for this morning. I will try to do whatever I possibly can do to entertain a request from a representative, the prime sponsor on House Bill 1109. We'll wait until we get to that bill to see if there are proponent or opponent testimony to, in fact, see if we are going to take that. But as of right now, we are going to put it on the side until next week. And I do want to specifically to smooth the agenda around just a little bit. We'll just bring House Bill 1141 to the top. That will be our first bill. Prior to that, I believe we do have a special guest, two, three, or possibly even four. Representative Cronin, do you have any special guests here you'd like to introduce?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee and those out in the audience, I'd like to introduce, for the first time in my life, I guess, my wife, Deb, and our three kids, Colt, Autumn, and Sierra. Well, thank you for coming down.
Thank you, Representative. It's very appropriate, and I remind this committee, and I think I continue to try to do that whenever special guests are here, please get my attention so we can welcome them to our house. With that, I believe we are ready to go to work and take proponent testimony. Like I said, we did move our agenda around. First bill that we're bringing up is House Bill 1141, an act to establish a date to begin absentee voting and to revise the deadline for the printing of ballots. Our first proponent testimony is, in fact, in the form of Representative Magstad. Good morning.
Yes, I'm Representative Melissa Magstad from District 5, Watertown. And I was asked to bring this forth on behalf of the Secretary of State. And this bill basically takes and establishes a date to begin that absentee voting. Right now, throughout the state, there's various days that it can begin. And so some will start various days, week ahead of time, days ahead of time, some behind. And so the Secretary of State ends up sending out their absentee ballots at various points in time right before the election. The other interesting thing I heard this morning, too, is that if you have two different counties that you are a candidate in, the absentee voting will start at different times for various counties that you're working with. So I am bringing this forth to establish a date to start the absentee voting 46 days before the election, and that means that they will have in the auditor's office 48 days ahead of time the absentee votes. And I would encourage you to do pass this, and I'm going to defer to the Secretary of State to put a little more detail into it if you have more questions, but I will stand by for questions as well. So.
Thank you, Representative. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1141. Mr. Secretary of State, good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
House Bill 1141, as Representative Mag said, discussed, helps clarify when absentee voting can and shall begin, or shall begin. Right now, it says that absentee voting will begin on this day, but it doesn't say that it has to begin on that day. The problem that arose this past election was we were having some counties, as soon as they received their ballots for the election, they then went through the process of their absentee requests and mailed those out. Well, what happened when we were having 66 different counties, there were a number of counties who were mailing them out right away when they received them from the printer, and there were other counties who waited until that 45th day to put them into the mail. So we were having differences in when our ballots were going out to the public. When I was running my campaign, I actually had people call me and say, Jason, you're running for Secretary of State. How? I just got my absentee ballot in the mail, but we've been telling everybody absentee voting doesn't start until September whatever. Can I vote? So when you get those types of things and you get this confusion, it's very important that we try and limit the confusion that could exist in our elections. And what House Bill 1141 does is it eliminates that problem. It eliminates the problem of what date absentee voting can and shall begin, and it also increases the days. Right now, it's on the 45th day, which, of course, since our elections are on a Tuesday, 45 days before that is always going to be a Saturday. So we've changed that to 46 days so that absentee voting shall begin on that Friday. This helps because some courthouses are open. Some didn't know if they should be open. This just clarifies it that 8 a.m. on that Friday morning, absentee voting shall begin. We've worked with the county officials to discussing this issue with a number of county auditors to make sure that they were okay with that. And nothing in this change of law will preclude the county auditors from getting ready to send out all of their ballots. It just means that they can't mail those ballots until that Friday. So because we had some concerns on my behalf as well as a number of other people about the military voting, we want to make sure we give as much time as possible. So what we're going to do is have all those ballots ready, all those envelopes ready, everything's ready to go, and on that 45th day, or on that 46th day, we put them in the mail and everything gets going. So with that, Mr. Chairman, this is going to be a great clarification for our law. It's going to help make it very clear for our election procedure, whether it's a campaign or it's just the general public, on what day absentee voting begins. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would encourage the body's support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there additional proponents to House Bill 1141? Good morning. You just had to have a little bite at the apple, didn't you?
I do what I can, Mr.
Very
Chairman.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Carrie Gonzer, and I am the executive director for the county officials. We do represent all auditors in the state of South Dakota, and we are in support of this bill. It gives us a little direction, and we have no problems with this. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Additional proponent testimony in House Bill 1141. Any other proponent testimony to House Bill 1141? Hearing none, is there opposing testimony to House Bill 1141? Any opposition to House Bill 1141? Hearing none, this committee will end public input, waive the rebuttal period from the proponent testimony, turn it over to committee questions and or actions on House Bill 1141.
I'd move a due pass.
Second. Representative Musterman moves due pass. Representative Tarnow, is that a second?
No.
It wasn't. Do I have a second to that pending motion?
Second.
Thank you. I had a second. Representative Cronin. Prior to getting back in your motion, Representative Tarnow, I think, in all due respect, you did have a question, comment, discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I did have a question for the Secretary of State. Mr. Secretary of State, I'm trying to get my head around line 15 of the bill and why we say no earlier and no later, and why we simply don't say on the 46th day. I understand that it shall be required. Why don't we just say on the 46th day?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the reason for that is we had quite the discussion on those particular words with the Legislative Research Council, as well as with some other attorneys and groups. And at the end of the day, we felt this was the clearest language, that this is when it starts. You cannot start before that, and you cannot start after that, because we want every absentee vote in South Dakota to start on the same day.
Representative Musterman, do you have a follow-up input or comments on your pending motion to pass on House Bill 1141?
No, I don't. Just my apologies to Representative Torno for jumping on that.
With all due respect, Representative Musterman, that is the process. I did dangle it out there. He just wasn't quick enough to grab that hook, and you hopped on it. Comments, discussion on that pending motion in front of you on House Bill 1141 to pass? Hearing none, that is the motion before you to send House Bill 1141 down to the House floor and do pass motion. Secretary will call roll.
Representative Dystra?
Aye.
Elstrom. Fikert?
Aye.
Klochek?
Aye.
Magstad?
Aye.
Munsterman?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Rausch?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Torno?
Aye.
Tolson?
Aye.
Venner?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Unanimous, 13.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. House Bill 1141 is, in fact, going down to the House floor in a do-pass motion. That's a very nice try, though.
We will move on to House Bill 1078 at this time. Any proponents for House Bill 1078? Welcome, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Hal Wick, State Representative from District 12 in Sioux Falls, and I'll be brief because there are others that want to testify on this bill, and you have a full schedule today. This has also been introduced in the past, so you have some may have heard a little bit about this in the past. But never has there been so great a need for relief as there is this year. All levels of governing bodies have their financial strains today, and House Bill 1078 will help all the schools, municipalities, and counties save taxpayer dollars and balance their budgets. House Bill 1078 will allow these government entities to post certain information on the Internet. And in addition to or in lieu of certain publication requirements they have now. While the posting is optional, the governing body shall notify the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications of the designation of their Internet website, and the Bureau will maintain a listing and link to all the official websites. There must be at least one library or other location within the entity's jurisdiction that is open at no cost to the public with Internet access to the official website. If the publication is required by law, the governing agency may publish or post their official website, and the length of time for posting is addressed according to present law. Section 4 of the bill actually addresses time for keeping and posting records, as well as advertising required for the notices of where the information is posted and alternative methods of finding the information. It also provides for mailing or other electronic transmission for residents that request it. So if somebody at home doesn't have internet or can't get to the library or down to the business office, they can actually request it by mail. Each entity must also make copies of each document available in their business office. Others will testify to the specific savings as far as what each different agency that might save dollars on this. And I would request that you send this bill to the floor for further discussion and move us into the 21st century so that we can have the savings for our school districts in particular, which I see is in real need this year. It's something we could do to help save dollars for them. And I'll stand by for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponents for House Bill 1078?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. It's not very often we get to say this, but I think what you have in front of you is a near-perfect piece of legislation. If you look at particularly at what Representative Wick just described in Section 4, you'll see that the words say shall, do these things. And I think we've offered every protection for the openness and to make sure that the public gets all of the information that is out there, but they get it in a more efficient and effective way. We estimate, and these are rough numbers, we think roughly a third of our municipalities have websites. I think it was 124 that had at least reported a website to us. And so a third of our municipalities would be able to use this. We did a kind of a rough survey of publication costs, and we would estimate that we are spending about $1 million a year on publications. And I think it's really important to call that exactly what it is, and it is an unfunded taxpayer subsidy of newspapers. There is no reason to keep doing it this way anymore. You'll hear from the opponents that we're worried about the underprivileged or people who don't have access to computers. Well, I would say they probably aren't getting a newspaper subscription either, and they do have access to the libraries, and that's one of the requirements of the bill. You'll also hear about the elderly, and I guess I can only go on some personal experience with my mother and her family and my father's. As I get older, my definition of elderly moves up every year, but I'm getting to where 80 might be getting towards elderly now. And these people are all over 80 or getting towards 80, and they're all active on the internet. And that's how they communicate now. So I don't think we should discount our senior citizens or discourage them from doing this. And if you look, especially one of my favorite provisions is part 3 of section 4. If they don't care to get their information that way, all they have to do is give a call to City Hall and we will mail it or email it directly to them at their preference. And so I think we've got every protection in this bill. I think it's an excellent piece of legislation and we hope for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. I'm from Pierre. I speak to you on behalf of the Sioux Falls School District this morning on House Bill 1078. We are in support of the bill. As people before me have suggested, the time has come. For a number of years, we've entertained this idea, and for the last few years, the concern, I think, in preventing its passage is this issue of access. But I believe the numbers are clear as we sit before you today, and they clearly support adoption of this legislation. Since the last bill, in fact, in 2007, the Sioux Falls School District set about trying to determine whether the Internet was an appropriate and proper place for posting its notices. In that survey, we learned that 86% of the parents of all of our students have access to Internet and the district's official newspaper. The district's official newspaper distributes somewhere, in that year at least, around 21,500 daily subscriptions in a community with 58,000 housing units. So the penetration of that newspaper is about 86% compared, 36% compared to the 86% penetration that we identified in our survey regarding access by those in our community to the Internet. In 1 year's time, during a year when we're looking at 10% cuts to K-12, in 1 year's time, this bill will save $34,000 for Sioux Falls School District. That's real money. $34,000 in our world and in yours equates to one teacher. So we're talking about funding a teacher's salary with the money that we are now using to post our information in a newspaper when we could easily do it on an Internet. It's time for us to recognize that our taxpayer dollars are subsidizing private industry. I find it ironic that even the largest entity in this state in terms of government notice uses the internet. You know who that is? That's you. The South Dakota legislature posts its notice on the Internet. Isn't it time we allow school districts to do the same thing? We support 1078, and we hope you will as well. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Seeing none.
That was very good.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Local Government Committee. I'm Diana Miller, and I'm the registered lobbyist for the large school group. And I'm going to try to take a little bit different approach, and we too strongly support House Bill 1078 because its time has come. Schools have been asked to look for efficiencies, and so we're taking that very much to heart. We're looking for ways in which we can save money, but note, it is optional. So I meet the second criteria that many of you say you support, local control. And they will locally make the decision if they wish to publish in a newspaper, on the Internet, or both. So I think we've met some of the concerns that people have. Secondly, the governor in his proposed budget has asked for all of us, let me state that again, all of us to share in the pain. That doesn't mean one group over another. It means all of us make sacrifices. Do I like this? No, I don't want to make sacrifices, but I'm part of the you all share in the pain. I think if you look at the protections that are built in for mailing, if you don't have access to a computer, a phone call, and I don't know many people that don't have a phone, so they could call and tell us they're interested in receiving the minutes, and that's in Section 4. We're going to publish in Section 4 at least twice a year, no less than 6 months, where you can locate this. I would also contend that every school district has a website, 100%, and you can access that through the state of South Dakota K-12 data. And it's readily available in order to save paper. I'm big on now saving paper and costs at all time. I didn't run the entire list. You can access it on your computer. Lastly, I'd like to talk about the cost savings to the 12 schools that I do represent. And it runs anywhere, and I'll pass this out. I'm a former teacher, so I like to have people's attention before I let you read this because you'll all look to your local community. And I'll pass it out. I'll have the pages pass it out, please, when I'm completed. It ranges anywhere from $3,000 all the way up to $90,000, depending on how often you meet, what's included. And the largest one is Rapid City because they also have to publish Western Dakota Technical Institute. For example, let me talk about Mitchell. Is real money, as Mr. Teason stated. You know, when you're looking, you're going to say, well, maybe 5,000 or 10,000. Mitchell is $18,025. That's significant dollars to us. We're looking for money anywhere now to try to become more efficient, as you requested. So I would ask that you look carefully at this and consider the time has come. We all operate on the Internet. You've asked us to become paperless down in various agencies of state government. We're trying to save costs. We're trying to look for more efficiencies, and we seriously think that House Bill 1078 provides you the opportunity to meet all the needs for school districts. And I'd ask, Mr. Chairman, that the pages distribute these, please. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'd stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me. Members of the committee, my name is Charlie Flowers. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Coalition of Schools and the Mid-Sized Schools. And we strongly support this bill because it will be a cost savings to the 125 school districts that we represent in the state of South Dakota. I happened to read an editorial the other day, and it was in one of the newspapers, and one of the statements that was made in that is the public simply cannot afford to cough up unnecessary tax dollars. And it struck me that this would be one way that the schools, not only the schools, but the counties and municipalities could save a lot of money, because we are in the 21st century today. Almost everyone has a computer. Every school district has a website. And this would be one way that we could help alleviate this proposed cut that we're going to be looking at in this session for funding. So I would urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents for House Bill 1078. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Melody Schopp, Interim Secretary of Education. Just want to stand in support of this for all the schools across the state for two specific reasons that you've heard from the previous proponents of the bill. Number one is cost savings, and the other one is local control. So with that, I'd like to put forth my support for House Bill 1078. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association. We, too, rise in support of House Bill 1078. As you've heard from the previous speakers, we feel that we have a bill that is in just about, as has been said, perfect form. And I think our real safety net comes in Section 4 for the folks that aren't Internet savvy, as we may say, that, in fact, we have built in the provisions to address their needs, either through mailing or actually providing them personally with the minutes of our meetings. So with that, we ask you again strong support for 1078. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Carrie Gonser, and I'm again on behalf of the county officials. I'd just like to say we support this bill. We have over two-thirds of the counties in South Dakota that currently have websites. We have very active provisions for upgrading and maintaining these websites throughout both the County Commissioners Association and also the County Officials Association. And the full list of counties with websites can be found on both of our main sites. With that, we're strongly in support of this bill, and we hope that you are as well.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony for House Bill 1078? Seeing none, I will close proponent testimony and open to opponent testimony for House Bill 1078.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. South Dakota Newspaper Association consists of 130 newspapers across the state in our membership. I'd like to begin by pointing out that right now I believe that local governments could do everything in this bill except what you find on page 2, lines 1 and 2 of the bill, where you find at the end of line 1, or in lieu of, the publication. That's really what this bill is about, is giving local governments the option to publish to put all their public notices, minutes, bid notices, election notices, financial reports, online instead of publication in the newspaper. I believe they can do it right now. They can do everything else in this bill except that provision. I think it's important just to review for a minute. The rates that newspapers are allowed to charge for publishing public notices are set by state law. Newspapers must abide by those rates. An administrative rules review each year allows for an examination of those rates. There hasn't been a change in these rates in the last 4 years. On average, the publication of city, school, and county public notices in the newspaper is a very small part of a government entity's budget. In most cases, it's less than one-half of 1% of an entity's budget. For instance, in Clark, 2009, the school district spent $1,665.73 on its public notices to publish in the Clark County Courier. That's out of a $3.8 million budget. In Oneida, the city of Oneida spent $1,484.23 to publish all of its public notices last year in the Oneida Watchman. In Rapid City, the school district spent $44,000 in its publication of public notice in the Rapid City Journal, real dollars, out of an $81.9 million budget. And in Watertown, in 2009, the Watertown School District spent $15,151 on public notices in 2010 out of a total general fund budget of $22.7 million. You've heard a lot of talk, all the discussion about proposed 10% cut in state aid to education up here. If you were to remove that provision for the publication of those notices, it takes that, alleviates that cut to 9.98% instead of 10%. We often hear local governments arguing for local control up here, but in fact, I think this bill contains several new unfunded mandates that if a government entity were to post its public notices only on the Internet, I believe these costs to comply with these new mandates could be as much or as more as what it costs to publish its public notices in the newspaper today. Section 3 of the bill calls for schools to post public notices to a website visible to the public for an amount of time the record is required to be kept provided by the applicable records management program. Posting and updating a website with all of the school's legal notices on a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis is no small task. It doesn't just happen. Someone has to do that work. Subsect 1 of Section 4 calls for government entities to complete and maintain on file affidavits for all notices published to a website. Again, this is no small process. It's detailed work and it's time-consuming. Subsect 2 of Section 4 requires the government entities to publish additional notices in the newspaper that they're not required to publish today. Subsect 3 of Section 4 requires government entities to post on the Internet instead of publication in the newspaper to mail copies of all notices to residents who request them. This could be a very significant cost. Postage, envelopes, maintaining a database of email recipients. What if 100 residents ask for all municipal public notices to be mailed to them? That's $44 in postage alone, not to mention the time. How often would they mail these notices to those who request them? Daily, weekly, monthly? Public notices are all about deadlines and timelines. In addition to these costs, there's a cost associated with maintaining and updating a website, which involves hardware and software costs. Over the course of a year, there are many public notices that local governments publish. Minutes, bid notices, election notices, financial reports, budgets, and more. I would suggest that there's at least a significant portion of an FTE involved with everything needed to comply. And just for example, if you take a small community that is going to have someone, a city, a municipal government that's going to have someone comply with this, someone who's being paid, say, a modest $12 an hour at the city hall, and if they spend, say, 2 hours a week to comply with everything that I've just laid out, that's $1,300 a year, $1,250 a year. And if you factor in some technology costs and some mailing costs, now you're up to $2,000 a year easily. And as I just mentioned, in a small community, they're paying $1,500 a year right now to publish all their public notices. So where are the savings? South Dakota newspapers do recognize the unique value and enhancement that the Internet can add to published public notices. That's why all newspapers have joined together to create SDPublicNotices.com, a searchable site where all public notices first published in the newspaper are archived. South Dakota newspapers are doing this at no additional cost to local governments or taxpayers. This is simply a value-added service to what is first and foremost the important step public notices printed in the local newspaper that is delivered to the doorstep or the mailbox of community residents, packaged with local news, school news, and information and local advertising that is of value and use to local residents, delivered in a medium that local residents accept into the home and use every day. Every copy of newspaper published in South Dakota is read by two or three people. More than 8 out of 10 adults read a South Dakota newspaper. Newspaper readership still outpaces use of the Internet in South Dakota. The U.S. Census estimates Internet connectivity is about 60 to 65% in South Dakota. More people in the United States will read a newspaper this coming Sunday than will watch the Super Bowl. At the same time, a statewide survey commissioned by SDNA in 2008 found that more than half of all local of South Dakotans have never visited a government website, such as a school or city government website. Notices published to an Internet site cannot match the permanency and reliability of the printed word. Once a public notice is in print, it cannot be altered, hacked, or manipulated. Public notices in newspapers provide a bona fide record that is backed up by an affidavit of publication sworn and notarized by the newspaper publisher. Online public notices cannot satisfy that same level of confidence. A public notice printed in the newspaper can equate to a legal record, a document that government officials rely on for satisfying legal questions and challenges. Newspapers provide that important third-party verification in the public notice process. And you heard Mr. Teason talk about the fact that up here in the legislature, you have moved toward a more paperless process of putting things on the Internet, and I don't disagree with that whatsoever, and I think that's it's been a great step forward. But at the same time, I still see a lot of people around the hallways and at their desks reading the printed word, the bill before them, the agenda before them, and I think that gets at what I'm talking about here. 2 years ago, this legislature approved a bill that required all state and local government public notices to include a disclaimer at the bottom of them stating the cost that public notice to publish that public notice in the newspaper. South Dakota newspapers have been complying with this new requirement since July 1, 2009. It's a good full disclosure transparency measure. If taxpayers were upset by these costs that they see published, I think you'd hear about it. I thank you for your time and consideration, and I urge you to vote no on House Bill 1078, and support the public's right to know. I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponent testimony for House Bill 1078? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, the chair will close opponent testimony and allow Representative Wick a short rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and I will be brief. If newspapers really feel that it should be printed, they can still print whatever they want. They can print the news now. And you might even look at it as a public service announcement like we have in the radio system in this country. So there would be nothing that would keep them from publishing it. The savings for some are significant. For others, not so significant. But it's an optional thing. If the local government entity wants to publish, they can stay with the publications instead. And one of the things that's interesting to me out of this is that the two largest papers in the state, one on either end, and neither one of them have their papers here anymore. They both tell us we can read it on the Internet. If we can read it on the Internet, then why do we have to publish in the paper? Because the schools, the cities, the counties already put it on the Internet, put it on a computer so they can send it to the newspapers. And they will still receive the minutes. They'll still be available if the newspapers want to print them. And like I said, the option is theirs. So they can do what the local government wants to do, whether it's in Gettysburg or in Sioux Falls. Thank you, and I appreciate your vote in favor of 1078.
Thank you, Representative. The committee will now move into questions or discussion on House Bill 1078. Representative Torno.
Thank you. A question for Representative Witt. While I certainly appreciate the bill. I really appreciate Section 5 of the bill. I do have a question. For those notices that are required to be published for, let's say, 14 consecutive days prior to a hearing, what is provided for in this bill if the system crashed for 2 days?
Mr. Chairman, there's nothing in the bill that would cover something that crashed for 2 days, but I haven't seen a system that crashed for even a day. I've seen systems that went down for a night, part of a night, while they do maintenance or while they add to it, but I haven't seen anything like that.
And then as a follow-up, in Section 4, Subsection 1, again, I appreciate the provision that there would be a statement, a notarized statement of the dates of the posting. Who would you envision would be the keeper of that document, and how would the public know who the keeper of that document is?
Mr. Chairman, I would expect the government agency to keep it and have it available to show to anybody that wants to see it.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Feichert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a question for Representative Wick. Do you have any statistics or any idea what impact this would have if, in fact, with the words in lieu of, if the school boards, the municipalities, and the counties in our very rural South Dakota, if a particular those boards made the decision, in fact, that they were going to put it on the internet, what kind of an impact would that have on the economics of those small communities? And any idea how many small town day or weekly newspapers would have the potential of closing the shop because of the term in lieu of in there that would give those boards the opportunity to eliminate that paper? Do you have any idea?
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, thank you for the question, Representative Feichert. Unfortunately, I don't have the data for every local newspaper or any of the local newspapers, to be honest with you. It would depend on how many government entities in their area in the first place would even move to not print it anymore and put it on the internet. Be very difficult to tell what that would do.
And I guess the other question, do you think that it would create any conflict within a local community, any pressure by the paper, the local paper, on the boards, whether it's school board, municipal board, or county board? I mean, it looks to me like you'd create some conflict in those communities, a struggle for the newspaper publishers, maybe even advertisers that might use that local paper to lobby those boards. Do you see any problem there?
Mr. Chairman, I don't really see a problem. I see the possibility that somebody may decide that, you know, one school board may decide they are going to put it on the internet, and in the process, the newspaper may go to a board meeting and, you know, pitch the fact that they would like to still print it, and then it would be up to the school board. But I think it's like any other issue the school board would make or any county or city. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Venner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Wick, one just quick question. I think we've talked around it. I believe it was our former Secretary of State, Chris Nelson, that spoke to this issue last year, and his words were that the way that we do it now with the paper provides the only printed, unalterable archival of this kind of information. Could you just speak to that? In other words, is that not true now, or have we kind of overcome that the way this is structured?
Mr. Chairman, I think with the internet and the way we can save things now and we can back it up, most people have some kind of a form of backup for their local computer. My computer backs up every week, and I actually back it up every night with by putting on just a small little device that I put in the side of the computer, and I save it till the next day and I update it. And then when I save the whole works, I can erase it and redo it. But I think with what we have in the internet today, we could build a system, or anybody could save the system, so that we'd have those things archivable. We have a better system now in the state, right here in the legislature, to go back and see what we did 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and you can pull it up on the internet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One more little question. I know this was spoken, and you may. But what is, again, the percentage of local governments that do have websites right now? What was that number?
That wasn't my
I know it was.
Testimony, but if I remember right, it was 124 cities.
That was probably
Ms. Gonser.
Please come.
Mr. Chairman, for the South Dakota counties, around two-thirds of the counties have them. I believe, Ms. Taylor, one-third for municipalities.
Okay. Follow up real quick. So then what was spoken earlier on the opponent side is probably true. There will be some cost here as websites are developed to incorporate this in their way of doing business if they were to move forward with. Am I right? Am I understanding it correctly?
Fortunately, this bill is written in a way that's permissive for the local governments so that we are able to move forward in a way that if they have the technology means out there to post online, they will be able to. If they need to develop those means, they can wait.
Thank you.
Representative Kirkby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have one quick question for Ms. Taylor, if I could. And specifically through the course of the dialogue, it was certainly referenced that the most historical form, the most accurate version of a particular resolution, meeting, ordinance, or what have you, is carved in the stone and made part of that historic document once it's printed in the Rapid City Journal. But I guess that's not a plug for the Rapid City Journal, back up, printed in a newspaper publication. But specifically, my question for Ms. Taylor is, in fact, not that information that is delivered to those local newspapers right now, for the most part, transcribed over to them via the internet?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that would be the case, and actually, we and all of the other local entities have extensive records retention manuals that are available on the internet, and in fact, you have a bill coming through the legislature that stops the publication of that manual and has it available on the internet. And so I think as the keeper of the records, it's clear that that is currently vested in the local entities.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, I have a question, and I guess whoever can answer it, probably the sponsor. I just want to know a little bit about these websites. Who will be the website administrators? I see it's designated by the governmental entity, and will they be uniform? Or every single government entity within a community going to have a separate website, a separate type of? You know, are they all going to be on one, or is each government entity going to have its own website, so you got to go to different ones if you're looking for stuff? Maybe it's a rounded question.
Mr. Representative. Chairman, thank you for the question, Mr. Chairman. Right now, all the school districts have a website. The Bureau BIT would control and have them listed, so that, and they would actually have a site so you could go to every single site that's listed, because they would be required to let them know. So you could just come to the state and find it. You could also go to this, the state school Department of Education, and you can find all of the websites for the schools. But it would all come under one site as far as the state is concerned, so it'd be easier to find. And each would have to develop their own. But if a third of them the cities, municipalities do now, and half the counties, it's already being done, and they're developing their own.
All right, thank you. Any other questions?
Tolson.
Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm asking a question to either proponent or opponent of this. The weekly papers are important to our local communities. The question I have, what percent of their total income would be affected if they did not use these publications?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
That's probably a very good question, Representative Tolson, but I don't have the records for all the newspapers, so I wouldn't have any way to determine how much it would be. It would certainly depend differently on the size of the local newspaper, and I have a weekly in my district, and I have a daily in my district, and I couldn't tell you what it would do to either of those.
Mr. Boardwick, would you like to answer that question?
Attempt to, Mr. Chair. Representative Venter, Tolson, I don't have the data in front of me. I just know in conversations with my member newspapers, the publishers, particularly the smaller papers, it could be from a couple percentage points of their total revenue to double digit percentage. You know, from 2 to 3% to 10 to 15% is the best. For the most part, the bulk of the revenue from the newspapers comes from the advertising and subscriptions they sell.
Follow-up question?
Quickly, yep.
Okay. The question I have would be then would the amount of employees be, would that change in some of these local papers if these were not used?
Mr. Chair, for me, Representative Tolson, you know, I'm not up here to advocate that government should subsidize private enterprise. I don't believe that, and I don't think that's the case. At the same time, I don't see anyone up here suggesting that those who provide culverts and equipment to counties suggest that those providers provide it for free to the counties. This is a service. Public notice is a printed service that the newspapers follow state law to publish, and then they are compensated under state law for the rates that they receive. Just like many other goods and services that government bids for.
All right. Any committee action on House Bill 1078?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kirkby.
1078 do pass.
Do we have a second? Seconded by Torno, Representative Torno. The motion is do pass on House Bill 1078. Any comments? Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have addressed this issue every year I've been up here about opportunity to save money. I don't know that I will support the amendment. I'm not against those proposing this, but I think we are looking at an opportunity to have some people that now will not have notices that normally did. Some will not know that they should write to the schools or to the entities to get their minutes. That's going to be a lot of on their part, because all of these different entities now will be able to post minutes wherever they choose, as long as they let people know where to find them. Well, that requires the mom and pops that now are snowed in all winter to write letters to all of these different agencies, all of these different groups, all these governmental subdivisions and to get those minutes. And I just think it's a dangerous way to go, and I think we're running a risk of leaving out a population segment that now will not get notices that previously had. So I'm all in favor of saving money. I just think that people have a right to be aware of what's going on, and I think this is taking away one of those options.
Representative Feikert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And try to be as brief as I can here, but and some of you have heard me say this before, but in a lot of the smaller communities, these weekly papers are actually a social connection for those communities. Excuse me, I have a mother who's in an assisted living facility 50 miles from her hometown. That community where I was raised, that community has a local paper. My mother lives for Thursdays when that local paper comes out, and she reads it with a magnifying glass. She is not that much different than me sitting up here. I don't have a computer with me. I'm not very proficient on a computer, and we're basically kind of limiting a segment of society the ability to have access to what the local governments do. Also, another point that I would like to make is that a lot of the legislators actually take the opportunity to write letters every week, whether it's on Wednesday or Thursday, and send those editorials, if you will, out to those local papers, and it is a connection for some of us in the legislature with our districts through those local papers. So I would encourage defeat of the motion, and let's let our counties and our school districts, and I'm looking for ways to limit what we're spending and to be more responsible with our budgets. But in due time, this will happen through attrition. There's a day coming when all of this stuff will be on the internet. I think we're a little bit ahead of ourselves. Thank you.
Representative Kirkby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to give me the opportunity to come back and support my motion of due pass. I didn't think I was going to sit around and listen to that. My history, my support, the current speaker can certainly offer some supportive testimony to the following statement. When we were both in other capacities in local government, we would go through and listen to testimony primarily coming out of local government in the House, anything to do with taking away that, publishing those minutes, those whatever they're going to be, and that same argument would come by, oh no, you can't take the newspaper from my Auntie Sally. These are the same arguments that are coming. 2 years ago, we were fortunate. We did pass, I think, a pretty substantial change in reform on local governments when, in fact, they do have to and are required currently to publish legal notices. I did notice in the Rapid City Journal last week, two examples. One is from our local school district, and the other one is from Pennington County. One or the other. One was the estimated cost, and that's specifically what it says in there, $1,700, and the other one was $1,300. I would contend to this committee that there are certainly those cost-saving measures, whether it be in a small district or a large district, that this bill, House Bill 1078, would in fact allow local jurisdiction that opportunity, that tool that they currently do not have right now. And in closing, Mr. Chairman, nobody wants to take away anybody's right to read a Rapid City newspaper. And I'm sorry for plugging them. Maybe I'll plug the Argus Leader now for a minute. It is going to be made available through social service clubs, organizations, or what have you on, say, one of our senior citizen facilities. But I certainly am comfortable in supporting this bill, the passage, and ask this board to pass this, specifically on the merits that was relayed to me 3 weeks ago when my paper, my Rapid City Journal, was in fact taken away from me after 4 years of having that luxury that we thought that we have here. And when I called the publisher back home in Rapid City, he said, sorry, it's a cost-effective measure for us. Please consider reading it on the Internet. And that's exactly what was relayed to me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Munsterman.
Thank you. There's a lot of things that I like about this bill, but I will tell you that based on the statewide experience that I had in the last year and a half going door to door and talking to folks, I met a lot of folks that were in their home, that were in their 70s and 80s, and they do rely on that paper. And the barometer for me, the measurement here for me, is that, I guess, the number that Mr. Bordewicht had mentioned, the 60 to 65% are actually internet connected. So that means that we're effectively, by setting this policy, leaving out 35 to 40% of the folks that are out there. And I'm not so concerned about the smaller communities, because I think they will understand that it's the larger communities of the folks that are out there that are not connected that would suffer the effects of this policy on a local level and not have a voice. And so I will be opposing the bill.
Representative Torno.
Thank you. And very briefly, I would say, again, I think this is a very good idea. I think if we as a committee remember, we do like to talk about it and rely on local control. This bill is the ultimate local control because it is permissive. To say that we're leaving out a certain group, that's up to the local municipality or the school district to make this decision. And they certainly can do that when they look at all of the arguments that have been made here. So I would urge your support of this bill. I would beg to differ that it is not a perfect bill. I have concerns about what is the plan B if a website were to go down. But those can be addressed. I think overall this is a very good bill. And I would say as to the newspaper issue, that's why I commented earlier, Section 5 is a very good section of this bill insofar as that newspaper will have the information. They can publish it if they so choose. Obviously, we know the issue is they're not going to be reimbursed for that, so they probably wouldn't publish it, but they would have the information. So I would urge your support of 1078.
Thank you. Seeing any more comments from anyone? Quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this age of computer, I have two college students, very computer literate. When they come home during the weekend, they ask, "Did you save the daily or the weekly paper?" You know, we throw away the Sioux Falls, the Watertown, the other papers, the dailies, but that's the paper they're looking for, and they really enjoy it. So I'm looking to vote against this. Do pass.
Thank you. At this time, we will take action on the motion in front of us, which is a do-pass motion on House Bill 1078. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Dielstra?
Aye.
Fikert?
No.
Klochek?
No.
Magstad?
Aye.
Munsterman?
No.
Olson?
No.
Roush?
No.
Shrimp?
No. No.
Torno?
Aye.
Tolson?
No.
Venner?
No.
Cronin?
No.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
There was four ayes, nine nays.
That motion fails by a majority of 9-4. I will entertain another motion at this time. Representative Benner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we defer this to the 41st day.
Second. Second by Representative Klochek. I don't believe there is any need for any more testimony, so I will ask the clerk to call the roll. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed, no. On the motion to defer House Bill 1078 to the 41st day.
Representative Dielstra?
No.
Fikert?
Aye.
Klochek?
Aye.
Magstad?
No.
Munsterman?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Roush?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Torno?
No.
Tolson?
Aye.
Venner?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
No.
Nine ayes, four nays.
House Bill 1078 is deferred to the 41st day by a vote of 9-4. We will keep moving down the calendar. to House Bill 1096. We will take proponent testimony for House Bill 1096.
Mr. Chairman.
Welcome back.
Honorable members of the committee, I hope that we're all a little bit friendlier toward 1096. This is a cleanup bill that I will be carrying on behalf of the South Dakota Municipal League, and I will defer to Ms. Taylor to elaborate more on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. And after that last thumping, I am limping up here looking for sympathy. This bill really is pretty simple. We are combining two statutes which conflicted and removing the small piece that conflicted. I think, and I will look at the person I know as an attorney on the panel, I believe that there's kind of a general rule that if there are two conflicting statutes, the more specific takes precedence. We are deleting the less specific and leaving the more specific. And I can tell you that the one we are leaving in place is the practice out there, and it is the advice that they receive from our office and others. And so we would ask you to just please clarify this conflict. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to stand by at your convenience.
Thank you very much. Any other proponents for House Bill 1096? Any further proponents? Seeing none, I will close the proponent testimony. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1096? Any opponents? Seeing none, I will waive the rebuttal for the good representative from Sioux Falls and move into committee questions and or action. Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on 1096.
Second by Representative Olson. Are there any comments?
No, I think it makes good sense, and I'm glad they're bringing it forward to clarify the issue.
All right. Nothing else. We have a due pass motion on House Bill 1096. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Dielstra.
Aye.
Heichert.
Aye.
Klochek. Magstad?
Aye.
Munsterman?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Rausch?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Tornow?
Aye.
Tolson?
Aye.
Venner?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
12 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 1096 will be sent to the floor with a due pass motion unanimously. Thank you. Consent? Any opposition?
Motion.
Rausch and Munsterman. Seeing no opposition, House Bill 1096 will be on the consent calendar. Before we finish up today, we would like to ask if there is any proponent or opponent testimony for House Bill 1109. That has been deferred. Anybody drive-in special? I don't see any. So, therefore, we will revisit House Bill 1109 at a later date. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Venner and Munsterman. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same. We are adjourned.
Good job, Chairman.
Please leave your books.